Take your Bible, if will, New Testament, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I'm going to shuck this coat. It just creates a problem, though, with what to do with this microphone deal. I heard one time that if you're fat, you stick it in your pocket. And if you're skinny, you put it on your belt. Well, we ain't going there tonight, all right? 2 Timothy, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read the text verse here, then we'll be in the book of Proverbs most of the rest of the way tonight. It's good again to have my son-in-law, my daughter here. I'm glad they're able to be with us for a few days. I think they're taking somewhat of a working vacation. They both work online sometimes or remotely or whatever, so they're doing that. But I'm glad they're able to be here. I do apologize, really need to apologize to Brother Dunbar. I thought I had told him. Brother Mudd did get to come home, I think came home Sunday, and he is doing remarkably better. Just remarkably better. So we thank the Lord for that. He told me the last time I talked to him, I think was on Saturday, and he told me, he said, "Preacher, I feel better than I felt in about 5 or 6 years." So they were able, I think they shocked his heart and got it back into rhythm, and so you just keep praying for him, doing real well. They told him they thought the cancer was totally contained, so they didn't think that was going to be a problem. So we prayed for a miracle, and I feel like the Lord gave us a miracle. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. All right. So what a blessing to get that report. And keep praying. Keep praying for people. It makes a difference when you pray. Note, if you will, verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Evil men. I want to preach to you tonight about be wise about evil. Be wise about evil. Now, I don't know about you. Your situation may have been totally different from mine, but I grew up with a terrible misconception. And I guess maybe I was just naive because I thought that we, that is my family, was normal. And I thought we were a normal family. And I guess, didn't discover how truly wrong I was till we started the Christian school and I began to work with kids in the Christian school. I found out, hey, we were weird, all right? We were weird. We were just strange people, because I found out that seemingly very few families conducted their lives anywhere close to the way we did. I mean, when I grew up as a kid, we had this strange practice that we did. My parents thought it was a good thing for us to eat together as a family. I mean, you know, you come in, you sit down at the table, and you had a meal, and that kind of stuff. You talked to each other, and, you did that kind of thing. Now, it was easier then because you didn't have a cell phone to carry to the table with you. But we did. We talked to each other, and I found out, man, I got in school, I began to talk to kids, and talking to those kids, they said, "Oh, no, we don't eat together. I mean, everybody gets their plate and goes to their room and eats, you know." And I thought, man, what a mess, you know, what a terrible thing. And I wanted to just kind of give that example for a little bit because I'm afraid it might be somewhat that way with Christians today when it comes to the matter of evil. When it comes to the matter of evil, I really think, for the most part, Christians don't usually have a problem with acknowledging, hey, we have a sin problem. We're sinners, all right? I know there's not too many of us out there to say, "Not me, man. I reached perfection. I never have to sin anymore." Nah, none of y'all feel that way, I don't believe. Everybody here realizes, hey, I'm a sinner. Don't live a perfect life. And you know, there's things we struggle with. And we haven't conquered that sin yet. And one day we look forward to when that will be conquered, when we're given a new body and totally changed, all right? We look forward to that. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't realize what a vast difference there is between us and those that we might call wicked or evil. We don't understand how much difference there is, all right? There's some folks in this world that go beyond and maybe way beyond what we might call the normal sinner, you know? Hey, normal sin, we struggle with things, all right? We struggle with things. I don't know what it is that you might struggle with, you know? I could tell you what sin is, a besetting sin that I deal with. You said, go ahead, preacher. That's between me and God, all right? But we struggle. We struggle with reading our Bible faithfully sometimes. We struggle sometimes with praying faithfully and those kind of things. And maybe we struggle, our mouth gets away from us sometimes. And that old tongue spits out some things. Well, wish hadn't said that, all right? Wish we hadn't said that, hadn't done that. That's what I refer to. And when I say the normal sinner, that's what I'm getting at. But hey, there's some folks that go way beyond that in our world today. They're evil, all right? They're evil. I'll give you an example, a few examples if you could. There's some people that have been lately, maybe you've seen it on television, that have marched and said, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. Now, can I just say this to you? That's evil. That is evil. All right? That is an evil sin. There are those that seem to have absolutely no conscience and engage in what we hear of and know of as human trafficking. Hey, those people are evil. Those people are evil. Now, that's just two examples, all right? That's just two examples of those. I'm not saying that's the only one, all right? But I'm saying because of that, you and I need to be wise about evil and those who are evil, okay? Well, we need to be aware of it. We don't need to go through life thinking, well, everybody out there is kind of like me. We struggle with a sin problem, and even that man that's lost, hey, every lost person, I wouldn't trump them in and say they're evil. Would not say that. But there's some that are, okay? Now, what about this thing called evil? Take your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Let's just look. I think I've got about 11 things tonight that I want to mention to you and from the Word of God that have to do and help us to identify those that are evil, okay? Those that are evil. Proverbs 17, if you will, look in verse 11, all right? Verse 11, that first part of that verse says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Right. Rebellion. I want to say this to you. Evil comes from rebellion against God and against the Word of God. That's where evil comes from, all right? If you want to define it, that's it. You and I may have a sin problem, but hopefully we're not rebelling against God. We're not shaking our fist in God's face and saying, I'm not going to do what you say. But evil men will seek to rebel against authority, and they will seek out those who also rebel. That you can count on it, all right? It's amazing to me how quickly rebels can find other rebels in a crowd. For years, we've carried teenagers to youth camp. We've not always carried just kids out of our church. We've carried other kids before. And there's been a time or two I can remember that there were some that were rebels that went with us. And you'd go to youth camp and have 400 teenagers. And before the first day's over, those rebels have found each other. They have got together. It's just amazing how it works. Evil men, evil women are attracted to rebellion, all right? That is one of those things that make them rebels, okay? For instance, human trafficking, that's rebelling against everything that's decent and you know, that could be even considered decent. And yet people are involved in that kind of thing. So it comes out of rebellion, maybe born in rebellion, and it comes forth. But it doesn't, it goes beyond that too. Go look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. And we're going to read several verses here, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we see. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 14, all right? Verse 14, the Bible says, well, let's look at verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who, notice, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. That's the evil, all right? That evil one delights in doing, the forwardness of the wicked. He rejoices to do evil. That marks him. Look in chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. There is a way. We're to stay out of that way. Then look, if you will, in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. I want you to realize this. Evil men are amused with evil. We're amused with evil. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I hear about things like human trafficking, I hear about those that peddle dope to other people and try to get them strung out and addicted. That's not amusing to me. I don't find anything at all amusing about that kind of thing. It's not amusing to me when somebody says, hey, we're perverse, we're coming after your kids. There's nothing funny, but evil men are amused with evil. Never forget that wicked people get their kicks from doing evil things. Evil things. Now, I said to you, be wise about evil. Here's the problem. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around that kind of thing. It's just real hard for us to wrap our mind around that kind of thing. I remember years ago they talked about gang activity. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around somebody that would just gang up and beat somebody to death. And look at that as fun. Look at that as being fun. And there's a lot of things. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy myself. But there's nothing fun in that. Doing wrong, though, makes that evil man happy. That's what encourages him. That's what puts a smile on their face, all right? Indulging in perversion or perversity is considered by that crowd to be fun. To be fun. Abusing other people. I'm saying to you, be wise about that, because us, we look at it and say, how could they do that? How in the world could anybody do that kind of thing? You know, hey, can I say this? I'm not a cat lover, but I'm not going to abuse a cat, okay? Not going to do that. I'm not going to hang them over the fence by their tail or something like that, all right? I'm not going to do it. Not going to abuse them. I don't get enjoyment out of doing that, all right? Now, when I was a kid, I got enjoyment about when they were jumping off a dock on the boat. I'd push the boat and it'd fall in the water. But I figured they needed a bath, so it was okay, and they could swim, all right? But to just abuse them and be mean, man, it goes beyond my ability to comprehend. Why would you do that kind of thing? Why would you do that kind of thing? Hey, to that crowd, it doesn't matter if others get hurt. Doesn't matter. Hey, they don't care if they cause somebody else to become an addict. Or they contribute to somebody else becoming a drunk. Or if they cause some young girl to become pregnant. Hey, it's a joke. It's a joke. Why? They're evil. They're evil, all right? They've got a warped mind. They've got a warped mind. Cannot even think in the right way. Hey, you need to be wise about those kind of people. Don't for a minute think, well, hey, I can understand them. No, you can't. We don't understand that kind of thing, all right? Look in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 19, if you would. Proverbs 13 and verse 19. And I want you to notice the end of verse 19 where it says, "But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil." All right? It is abomination for them to depart from evil. I could ask you, some of you here, you came from a difficult life. You came. I didn't get in a lot of trouble as when I was a kid. I didn't get into a lot of sin. You say, why? Because I was a good kid? No, because my dad beat the fire out of me, all right? And because of that, I stayed out of a lot of things that I might have gotten into otherwise. But man, for those of you that have gone into those things, do you remember when you were able to get free from some of that? Remember when you were able to turn loose of that? It wasn't despicable. Hey, it was wonderful. But the Bible says that that evil man, his love for evil is such that he can't live without it. That's what life's all about. They're addicted to wicked habits, and all that matters to them is indulging in that sin. We heard of Jeffrey Dahmer years ago, who would kill and eat body parts of those that he killed. Now, that's revolting to a normal human being. Can I say this? That's revolting to a normal lost man. So where does it come from? Evil. Evil. We rejoice in being able to conquer some sin in our life. Man, it's a good thing. Many people celebrate those that have had trouble, especially maybe without alcohol or with dope. And they celebrate and they'll say, man, I've been clean for this long a time, and been able to do that. And we rejoice with them and we're glad for them and everything. But wait a minute, the wicked folks, they don't have that kind of comprehension whatsoever. They wouldn't rejoice, they'd be moaning and groaning because, man, I haven't been able to engage in that sin that I love so much, all right? And they won't listen to reason about it. You can't reason to them. Why? They're held in bondage to that evil that dominates their life. Once again, I say to you and I that especially know the Lord, it's hard for us to understand how could you be like that? How could you even think that way? But it goes further. Look in Proverbs 21, all right? You're in Proverbs 13, I think, there. Hold your hand at chapter 14. But go to chapter 21, would you? Chapter 21, would you look here in verse 4? The Bible said, "An high look and a proud heart," and notice, "the plowing of the wicked is sin." The plowing of the wicked is sin. And you think about that word, plowing. Now, I want to say this to you. You don't plow by accident. You don't plow by accident. I've heard of people sleepwalking, but I've never heard of anybody sleep plowing. Man, I woke up, I was in the field following the mule, all right? You know, no, it doesn't happen like, well, I woke up, I was driving the track. No, you weren't. Well, you don't plow by accident. It's something that you plan. It's something that you do on purpose. Well, the Bible said here, wickedness moves a person to be defiant toward God and His Word, and He will plow that wickedness, all right? He'll plow that wickedness. He sows in order to be able to reap the results of sin. That's what He does. It's part of Him. Where does that come from? Well, some of it comes from the arrogance of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Proverbs 14, verse 9, notice the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. That's a wicked man. That's a wicked man. Wicked man, he laughs about it. Laughs it off. Oh, no big deal. No big deal. Hey, here's that wicked sinner that said, yeah, I gave him his first drink. Now look at him. Full-fledged drunk. Hey, I got him started. Proud of that. Proud of that. Hey, I'm the one that led him down that path in life. Proud of that. Proud of that. Man, the kind of thing that most people would be ashamed of. No, because of the arrogance of the wicked man, he makes a mock at sin. Why? Because he does it deliberately, all right? He never seeks to make things right with those he has harmed or those he has wronged through his sin. Never happens, all right? He always figures, I'm going to get away with it. I can get away with anything I want to do. It's going to be okay. It'll come out all right, all right? To this point, look in chapter 21. You there? Look in chapter 21, verse 29. The Bible says a wicked man hardeneth his face. Hardeneth his face. Hey, he becomes brazen. Brazen in his behavior, if you will. It's why the wicked are so bold. It's why they seem to fear no possible danger of the consequences of their sin, because they've hardened their face about it. He's determined, I will have my own way. I'll have my own way. There's no shame. There's no remorse for their actions whatsoever. They don't come along and apologize. Well, you know, I wish I hadn't done that to you. No, they laugh about it. That's fun. That's their amusement, all right? You try to warn them. You try to rebuke that individual. Has no effect upon them, all right? Because they don't believe they're living in any kind of sin at all. Don't believe that. You mark it down. That person that's chanting up and down the streets in the pride parades, there's no remorse. There's no sense of shame. It's my understanding. I've not gone to any of them, but it's understanding. Sometimes they parade just totally nude down the streets in front of kids and everything. No problem. No problem. Hey, listen. Why? There's no remorse. There's no shame. Why? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. Nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Hey, you know, who do you think you are saying that's sin? Well, I'm just telling you, the Bible says it's sin. God calls it that, all right? They calls it. But it gets worse. Proverbs 17, all right? Proverbs 17, would you look at verse 23? The Bible said, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Now, we talk what we would call, he gives a bribe. He gives a bribe. I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like for years and years, we could have done more to stop drug trafficking. I honestly believe we could do better. Now we hear about the great problem of human trafficking. I'm going to be honest. You say, preacher, where's the evidence? I can't bring it to you, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe we could do a better job stopping it, but the reason we don't is because of the truth of this verse right here. There's too many palms being greased. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's a lot of people who get into a lot of evil because of money. Because of money. Wicked folks give bribes. And wicked folks take bribes. I believe with all my heart that's a lot of what's going on. I believe there's a lot of people that are high up in government. Not necessarily, now don't start putting it, some elected probably, yes, but some just in the bureaucracy of what's out there. I believe there's folks up there, they're greasing their palm, they're getting in on it, and they look the other way. They don't do what could be done. Look, with all the surveillance capability that's in this old world today, it's amazing how they can chase down some people, but they absolutely cannot find others. Just can't get a hold of them. Hey, why? I believe it has to do with this right here. Money, all right? Money. Hey, can I just apply this to you? Make sure you don't bribe your kids to do right. make sure you don't bribe your kids to do right. He said, what do you mean, preacher? You teach them to do right. You demand that they do right. You don't give them a treat, but to get them to stop acting wrong. Hey, now, sweetheart, if you'll quit doing that, mommy's going to give you. That's bribing your kids. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go through that action, all right? Hey, grandma and grandpa, don't do it either. Don't do it either. You got grandkids. Now, don't want to bribe them to do what's right. Hey, but I believe that bribery comes in the day of evil, and the evil we deal with in our land today, a lot of it's done because bribery's there. There's a lot of money going into that deal. We have no idea how much money. I hear them talk about how much money's involved in drug trade and then in human trafficking and all that kind of thing. I have no idea, but I tell you this, I believe it could be stopped if some people weren't taking it under the cover, all right? Notice what the Bible said there in verse 23. He says he takes it out of his bosom. That is emphasizing, hey, we hide it. We hide it. We hide it. What a time. Let me warn you, Proverbs 29, verse 10. Proverbs 29, verse 10. When it comes to evil, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. I said, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. You look down in the same chapter, but verse 27. Notice the last part of that verse. He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. To the wicked. I'm going to tell you this. Wicked, the wicked man hates those that seek to be godly. They hate them. You can put her down. Wicked folks, evil people, have absolutely no use for those that love the Lord and try to please Him. To be honest, we're the enemy. We're the enemy. You see, we stand for morality. We stand for morality. We stand for right. That crowd stands for no morality. Do whatever you jolly well please. Do whatever you want to do. And godly people make them look bad. Godly people make them look bad. And if still any conscience in them, it causes conviction upon them in comparison to that godly one, all right? All that Christianity stands for is an absolute affront to the wicked of this world. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't be surprised if they come out against you. Hey, there's so much being said online today about churches and how intolerant church people are about all this. And I even read the other day that there's some so-called scholars that have decided, hey, the Bible says absolutely nothing against homosexuality, and that is because of a mistranslation. I got $14.99, something like that. Hey, that's just the ungodly trying to justify themselves. Just the ungodly, all right? That's all. You need to remember this. So Proverbs 24, would you? We're not their friend. They're not our friend. Proverbs 24, the Bible said in verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Notice, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. You see, they study destruction. They study destruction. When you study something, you're trying to research everything you can about it, to find out all you can about it. Now, could I say this to you? The Bible tells us to be simple when it comes to evil. We're not to try to seek it out and study it out and find out all its forms and all. We don't need to know all of that. I've told people before plenty of times when they want to come and begin saying, preacher, man, I've got this problem. They start wanting to confess. I say, wait a minute, I don't need to hear everything you've ever done. I don't need to hear that. You don't need to confess to me. You need to confess to God, all right? Hey, but they study destruction. They do that. Why? Because their attempt and their plan is destruction. They plan to destroy people. They plan to destroy people. Look, you can say what you want to about the drug trade, if you will. And people say, well, there wouldn't be that drug trade if there wasn't that demand for it. I'll tell you, there wouldn't be the demand for it if it wasn't created. If it wasn't created. Now, I realize some people are just, they play with sin and to get into drugs that way. But oftentimes, man, you get recruited. All right? And they study it. They seek for ways to create havoc, to ruin other people, to devastate. Hey, that's a constant with them. And right there with it, Proverbs 23, would you look in verse 27? Proverbs 23, verse 27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I tell you this, they ambush and they trap their victims. It's exactly what they do. That's why they plan destruction. They seek out. They're masters of advertising. They're masters at recruiting. They're masters at ruining the careless, or the unconcerned. They're masters at manipulating people. Manipulating people. Years ago, I'll give you this illustration. I believe this guy was borderline evil that called my mom. Yeah. Amen. And manipulated her to send money. Manipulated her to send money. Those people are evil. They're evil. Now, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I'm going to put it together. I used to really enjoy when I was a kid in high school, and I would go to the stock show. I used to love to go when it was real busy on the midway, all those games of skill. I use the word skill loosely, all right? All those games, I used to love to go and watch the people that ran those games manipulate the crowd. Manipulate the crowd. I guess my very favorite one was a guy in a Dunkin' booth. I know my brother remembers this guy. I remember going and he ran a Dunkin' booth. Now, he sat in the Dunkin' booth and insulted people that walked by. All right? I mean, he would insult them. And get them, you know, he would say, hey, show your girlfriend how good a shot you are there with that ball. You can dunk me. And if you walked on by, man, he would insult you about it. And he was a master. I've stood and watched that guy manipulate people to continue to spend money trying to hit that. And the madder they got, the less control they got over the ball they were throwing. And many times they ended it by throwing it at him in the cage. And he'd laugh at them. But I'll tell you this, there's people that know how to manipulate folks. There's those people out there that are online today that are fishing. They're fishing. They're looking for somebody a little bit unhappy. What are they trying to do? Trap them. Trap them, drag them into a life of utter degradation. You said, why? Because they're evil. They're evil. Now, you and I may crave ice cream. I think it's of God to crave chocolate, personally, but, all right? Maybe you crave coffee, and I worry about you if you do, all right? But I'll say this, the wicked crave evil. More than you even think about craving something. They're not happy unless they're sucking somebody in. You said, preacher, why are you saying this? Because I want you to keep both eyes open. I want you to go through life with both eyes open. I want us to do everything we can to protect kids that are in our church. kids that we reach, kids that we try to minister through the bus ministry. And keep both eyes open. Watch your kids. Watch your grandkids. Man, keep an eye on what's out there. You said they'd never be. That's what merely everybody says. But the wicked are masters at ambushing and trapping their victims. Proverbs 21, verse 10. Notice what it says. Proverbs 21, verse 10. First part of that verse says, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. Desireth evil. Chapter 19, verse 28. The last part of that verse says, the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Hey, they crave evil like a hungry wolf stalking his prey. They devour it. They gulp it down at every opportunity. Their appetites feed on evil for survival. Can I say this? I believe it's beyond an addiction. Oftentimes, they don't even realize they're harming their own lives and even cutting their own life short. What a shame. What a shame. We need to keep both eyes open. Don't lose sight of how bad evil is. Let me close chapter 28, all right? Chapter 28. Would you look here? Just the last warning. Verse 14, the last part of that verse says, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. We like to think, never happened to me. We like to think, I could never sink that low. But wickedness begins to take hold in any life when conviction comes and the sinner stiffens and begins to resist that conviction. Now, I didn't say you're evil the next day. Not saying that. I'm saying that's where it starts. Rather than get right, that one begins to harden his heart, stiffen his neck. Hey, watch out. Watch out. But preacher, the sin, my sin, and you preach against it and it upsets me and it just makes me mad. Wait a minute. Are you being convicted by the Holy Spirit? Don't stiffen up. Don't stiffen up. Don't turn from that. Don't run from that. Get right with God. Get right with God. Hey, look. Man, when the Word of God is preached, when God brings conviction to you, hit the altar. Hit the altar. Well, what are people going to think? Who cares? Anybody's right with God's rejoicing, man. We have no idea. We don't know. Maybe you're at the altar praying for us. We don't know why. I'm saying to you, do not let that convicting power come to you and you push it away. You resist it. Don't do that. Don't say, you know, like Pharaoh did with the frogs. When you want to be rid of them? Well, tomorrow. No, take care of it right then. Take care of it right then. Hey, can I say this to you? If God moves on your heart on Monday morning, don't wait till Wednesday night to get right. You can get right where you are. You don't have to come to church. I mean, if he moves on your heart, get right there. Wherever you're at. If you're driving down the road, I would suggest you not bow in prayer, okay? But I would suggest you pull off to the side and do business with God. Take a little time, so I'll be late to work. Might be better to be late to work and get right with God. Just stay right with him, all right? Wickedness, evil, starts out small. Starts out small. And then we begin to justify our sin instead of repenting of that sin. That's when we get in trouble. That's when we get in trouble. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Heavenly Father, now we pray tonight. We're going to have just a little bit of